Hello, and welcome to Life Matters, the program where we engage life issues with critical thinking and a biblical worldview. Life Matters is an educational outreach resource of Assure Women's Center in Omaha, Nebraska. We're honored to host a variety of guests within the pro-life movement, each bringing their own unique perspectives, experiences, and backgrounds. The views and opinions expressed by our guests do not necessarily reflect those of Life Matters, Assure Women's Center, or our affiliates. Our goal is to foster open, thoughtful dialogue around life-affirming issues and equip listeners to stand for life.
Welcome to Life Matters. Today, I'm joined by a very special guest, Robin Chambers, Vice President of Advocacy for Children at Focus on the Family. Robin leads their work in life advocacy, including the Option Ultrasound and Wait No More programs. And she's also helping guide Focus into a bold new chapter in the post-Roe era. Robin, welcome.
Oh, Toni, thanks so much for having me on.
Thank you for being here. I'm looking forward to our chat. I always enjoy talking to you. So, Robin, let's begin with your story. How did God lead you into pro-life work and adoption advocacy work?
Oh, I love that question. I won't go into all the nitty-gritty details, but I actually was a teen mom and had a very amazing mama, I think really ahead of her time. And just remember the conversation really well of her saying, not what your dad and I wanted for you, but let's make a plan. And I just remember that support and the support of my boyfriend at the time and a husband of 46 years. And knowing that I had support was so vital in my life decision. We were obviously young, and yes, there's a lot of sacrifice and a lot of hard in there, but goodness, it was so worth it, and I have two amazing kiddos and three beautiful grandchildren, and yes, I'm biased, and it's okay. It's okay for Grammy to be biased, but I didn't tell that story for a lot of years, Toni, because of actually shame from the church, and that was the one place that I felt like, gosh, of all the places that should be coming in and supporting me, it should have been the church. Now, that was 46 years ago. And so, yes, now you know how old I am. But I just remember when I started working at Focus, I actually was in our international department doing, I functioned as a paralegal. I was doing a lot of the contract work for Dr. Dobson's books to be translated into foreign languages, and still had not shared that story a lot just because of the comments that would come my way. What I felt like was judgment, even though I'd made a decision to choose life and get married. And, I always say I did things backwards. I had a baby, got married, and then went to college. And so it was all the, just the judgment. And this many years later, I know that that was just Satan kind of working on me to try to distract me from what I now know was God's purpose for me. And that was to lead the advocacy team. And when I first was approached about praying about coming over here, Toni, I hate to say this, but I actually said no, I wouldn't pray about it because it kind of scared me because I knew I would have to tell my story. Mm-hmm. And so God got a hold of me and I fasted and prayed that weekend and knew that God was calling me into this space. And I now tell my story, not in a way to judge the church, but in a way to say, hey, there is opportunity for you to choose life, and there's opportunity for you to have support so that you can do that, and then to work with pregnancy centers so that they can meet those women at their point of need has been one of the greatest joys of my life. And the foster care side of it, I have my husband and I have custody of our two oldest grandkiddos and learned more about that area than I ever cared to, but I know that they are they were in a safe place because they were with their granddad and I. But I can now say our son is sober and making great decisions and has fallen back in love with the Lord and is reconnected with his kiddos. And so I tell the story now because of God's redemption. And I think that's what we need to remember anytime we have something in our lives that we feel like is a something to hide. God uses that for his glory, and God uses that to show his redemption. And so I tell my story loud and proud now to show his redemption in my life.
Good. Thank you for sharing your story. And I've heard your story before, even the part that you left out. And it never gets old. Once again, just talking about God's redemptive power and even addressing, sometimes the shame that some people may feel from church. I think that's changing a little bit. But there are some that probably would think that it doesn't. And I think that's one thing we have to keep in mind. We have to create a safe place for girls to turn. And so often, if it's not the church, it perhaps might be a pregnancy center like Assure or others across the nation where girls feel like they're not being judged and they can come and get answers and they can find the support that they need when they sometimes don't feel like they can get it from their families or perhaps their church.
So. Absolutely. And I agree. I think church, I'd love to see church become the first place that they think of when they're in that situation and not the last place. Mm-hmm. And we have an opportunity. I think, you and I have been in this work for many, many years, but we have an opportunity and maybe even a responsibility to help pastors understand how they can play such a pivotal role in her decision and that church becomes her safe place.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Robin, can you share what your role of Focus on the Family entails and how your department fits into the broader mission of Focus?
Oh, I love that. So we'll be celebrating our 50th year, Focus on the Family's 50th anniversary in 2027. And I can say from the very beginning that the sanctity of human life has been part of our DNA from the very beginning until, today. And even in the transition where Dr. Dobson retired and Jim Daly took on the presidency role, that never changed. That is one of our key pillars, marriage, of course, and parenting, but the sanctity of human life has always been a part of who we are. And so when I took over the department, we were kind of doing just two little bitty things, and I say little, but we were working with pregnancy centers, but we really weren't doing we weren't as robust as what we are now. And Focus for many, many years did benevolent resources, and those were the little booklets that you probably ordered years ago at your center, Tony. And we did that across the United States. And then about 21 years ago, the question was asked, what can Focus on the Family do, knowing that this, sanctity was a part of who we are? What can we do to help drive down the number of abortions in the United States? And the answer was ultrasound. And so that began 21 years ago, our Option Ultrasound program. And that's working with pregnancy centers across the U.S. To get brand new ultrasound machines. And so I find it interesting, when we first started that, we said, oh, it's only machines and we have a definite beginning, definite end. And it literally was supposed to be a 6-year program. And here we are, 21 years later, because God opened up doors that we never thought we would walk through. And so Focus has kind of joined this big national movement of pro-life. And it is specifically to impact and equip pregnancy centers to meet women. Women who are being targeted by abortion providers. They're being exploited. And so God has just opened so many doors for us in this space, in the pro-life space. We do ultrasound machines, nurses trainings for sonography training, nurse salaries for extended hours so that you can reach women in the evenings or, maybe on a Saturday because they're working or they're in school and they can't come in during the day. And God is just opening up all these doors. And the beauty of that is we're doing this together. We don't have to be all things to all people. We can come in and support pregnancy centers. You all are on the front lines, and we just get the joy of coming in behind you. And that has become such a key part of who we are at Focus on the Family. And when I'm able to stand before a donor and tell them what you all do, the joy that I see on their faces when they know you've helped a center in my city or you've helped a center in my state, that has been so exciting to see because we get the opportunity at Focus to brag on what you all are doing. And we have donors who really didn't even know what a pregnancy center does. Yeah. And so this has been an opportunity for us to educate our constituency to say, get involved at your local pregnancy center. Guess what? They desperately need you. And it doesn't mean you have to be in a counseling room. I have people that go, oh, I could never do that. I'm like, but you can give, you can walk at their, at their walk for life. You can go to their banquet. There's so many things you can do. And so that's been fun, to be able to kind of introduce our constituency. And then on the flip side, the foster care and adoption, just letting people know, Focus is very involved in the foster care world. and it is to bring awareness of the children currently in foster care. There's over 360,000 kiddos in foster care right now. 90,000 of those are available for adoption. For whatever reason, parental rights have been terminated. There's no extended family that are able to adopt those kiddos. Focus has an opportunity to get in front of churches to say, there's 300,000 churches. You know, Tony, I'm not a mathematician, but I can figure that one out. One in every third church could impact a child for life. Yeah. And so, and introduce them to the giver of life, introduce them to a savior. And so that is just, that is such a core piece of who we are at Focus.
Yeah. You know, I think sometimes people don't realize, you know, how involved in Life Matters Focus on the Family is. At least most of the people that I talk to don't really realize that. So thank you for sharing that. And we meaning Assure, has certainly benefited from Focus on the Family through your Option Ultrasound program that has truly been a blessing to us as well. So
Life Matters is the program where we engage life issues with critical thinking and a biblical worldview. And it is a ministry of Assure Women's Center. Assure Women's Center is a nationally recognized pro-life pregnancy center based in Omaha, Nebraska. Did you know that you can connect with Life Matters online? You can find all of our previous episodes to review for yourself or share with the people in your life by visiting firststeptolife.com/Life Matters or on Facebook at First Step to Life Omaha. Sharing our episodes and encouraging us with a positive comment is a completely free way that you can help us get the pro-life message out to more people.
So, Robin, has Focus on the Family, how has Focus on the Family reevaluated its priorities in this new post-Roe landscape?
Oh, goodness, that has been kind of a journey. About a year prior to Roe being overturned, I was actually having a conversation with our leadership team and just saying, you know, I think we need to be very, very aware mm-hmm. that even if Roe is overturned, and we were kind of seeing a little bit of the writing on the wall, even before the leak happened with Justice Alito's statement, I said, if this happens, my biggest fear, and this is going to sound really weird, my biggest fear was that our constituency, Christians as a whole, would think that somehow abortion was going to go away and we've won. Like, oh, we're going to, you know, victory lap. Oh, we won the battle kind of thing. And I said, there couldn't be anything further from the truth, because what will happen is it will go back to the states yeah. and states will be doing crazy things. Like right here in Colorado, you can have an abortion through 40 weeks. That's a full term baby. And I don't know that the average church goer or the average constituent, you know, yours or mine, really understands the severity of that. You're talking about a baby that is maybe even hours from being born. Yes. That can be terminated, yes. You know, and from, you know, early in the pregnancy all the way through to a full term. That is one of the most evil things that I think has ever come.
I agree.
You know, in my lifetime. Yeah. And so I started talking to our leadership and saying, we need to be prepared. What can Focus on the Family do? How can we continue our work with pregnancy centers? But then how can we have a message that says, while we celebrate that decision, we also recognize that the work is going to probably become harder. We'll now have 50 battlegrounds instead of just the one. I have to say, when I put together this huge strategy, the board and our leadership said, yes, the absolutely Focus has to be, we have to have a voice in this, in talking about how do we continue to invest in pregnancy centers. Again, like I said earlier, you're on the front lines, we are not. And so that's when we started to really broaden what we're doing at pregnancy centers, you know. And in the past, it was and you know this, Tony, when you first came through, you had to choose, is it a nurse's training or is it a machine? Well, now it's, here's your menu.
Yeah.
What do you, Pregnancy Center ABC, what do you need in order for you to continue to reach abortion-minded women in your community? And without, it was unanimous, without very, very few pushbacks, we stepped into a really hard space. You know, at times we lobby in DC, at times we lobby here in our state, and just to make people aware that this is what's going on. And it's very egregious when you talk about, you know, taking the life of a child at 40 yeah. weeks. And so we have not backed down. We continue to do that. You know, I'm sure you've heard we're now on the hate list. The SPLC is a hate list. Yep. And Jim said, you know what? If they hate us for standing up for women, for standing up for men and children and family, you know, so be it. We'll continue to do that. And so that just made us, I think, more aware and more determined to keep doing what we're doing.
Yeah. I so appreciate what you all do on the national level, because, I mean, we're, you know, trying to impact things in our community, but you all have a wider reach. And I agree with you. When Roe fell, I just remember even being in my church and everybody was excited and, you know, and but then having to say, yeah, it's a great thing. However, mm-hmm. and people didn't realize the fight is, we're really just beginning the fight. And so I think now we're seeing it play out that, you know, yes, we won that victory, but there's still many more victories to go. And so
absolutely.
I so appreciate the work that you all are doing. Robin, what does it mean to be pro-woman, pro-baby, and pro-family? And how do you live that out in practice?
Well, one of the things that I think for me, the pro-woman has always been forefront of my mind because of going through my personal story and knowing that my mom's very first words to me and my now husband was, how can we support you? Not, oh, yay, the baby's coming and, you know, it's all about the baby. Please hear me say, yes, we love babies. It is. But if I can't reach that woman and I was her, I can't save the baby if we're not looking at her. And I truly believe that, and I have so many women in my life that are post-abortive, and hearing their stories made me realize that what I see is women who are in a very, very difficult situation. There was no flippancy in that decision. And I think it's really easy for us to judge. Mm-hmm. And somehow in the Christian community, we've made abortion the worst possible sin. You know, so somehow that carries a greater punishment.
Yeah.
And that, you know, there's nothing further from the truth in God's economy. You know, anything that separates us from him, that's sin. But hearing these women talk about how the situation unrolled for them or unraveled for them. That's a shame on us that we didn't say, how can I support you, the woman in this pregnancy, and answer her questions when she says, okay, I'm going to be kicked out of my house. My mom and dad are going to kick me out, or I'm going to lose my scholarship. Or you know what? Father, the baby boyfriend who he says, no, I'm out. Well now I literally have zero support, and it's really easy to, I think, gloss over when she says, I don't have support. I think it's really easy to gloss over that and not realize that she's now looking at homelessness. She's looking at, I'm losing my job. I'm going to lose my scholarship, which means I'm going to be kicked out of school. Well, that's where my housing is. That's where my education is. And to put her in a box that says somehow she's this horrible person, when in her mind, she's like, I have no way to take care of me. Absolutely. How am I going to take care of a baby? And I think being really cognizant of that is one of the things that I built into our strategy of what does it look like to answer that question? Can we answer when she says, well, I don't have this? And we can say, oh, but you do, and here's where. Mm-hmm. Or she says, well, I don't have, yes, you do, here's where. Mm-hmm. And so that was one of the things that was so near and dear to my heart was taking care of that woman. In fact, I was in Washington, D.C. in March for the Defund Planned Parenthood lobbying day, and I had the opportunity to talk to two congressmen, and I just said, hear me say, yes, I'd love to see Planned Parenthood defunded, but what I'd love to see even more is that you reallocate that money for programs for women, specifically for women. What does it look like for her to have safe, affordable housing, safe, affordable childcare, maybe continuing her education so that she can have a job that allows her to take care of her child? What does it look like for businesses to reserve remote assignments for her while she's in her pregnancy so she doesn't have to worry about childcare? What does it look like to give her and her child medical care for 5 years? You know, that type of thing. And so having those conversations at the highest levels of legislation, but all the way down to what does it look like for our churches to provide some of that as well? That to me is pro-woman, because I'm looking at her and saying, this is about you and how can I support you, and not making it just about the baby. But then also, Tony, not leaving out the father of the baby. And, you know, and here's the other thing, not necessarily that they have to get married and that that fixes everything, but coming alongside him to say, you have a responsibility to this child and you can co-parent and you can co-parent well. And goodness, here's all the resources you need to do that. And so I think meeting them at that point of need before the baby arrives is so key to supporting them long term.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that I think pregnancy centers get accused of is that we're just for the baby. Pro-aborts like to say that, you know, we're just for the baby, which is not true, because we can't reach that baby if we don't reach that young lady.
Right.
And so often, you know, like you said, just helping people to see that young lady where she is, being empathetic, put yourself in her place. You know, so we talk about, you know, addressing fears that the young lady has. She has a real fear that she's not going to have a home, or that, you know, boyfriend might leave her, or parents may put her out. And so those are real fears that young ladies are contemplating. And I think sometimes we forget, you know, that it's not just for us, it's a decision she's choosing to perhaps abort. But for that young lady, this, her life, she's just at a crossroads. She doesn't know what she's going to do.
Right. Well, and even if she does make the decision to have an abortion, of course, that breaks her heart, you know, and it breaks the Heavenly Father's heart. But are we there for her after?
Yes. Yes.
When she is grieving, there's still that loss, even though she made that decision. Are we pointing her to the one who can provide hope and healing, or are we judging her? And so are you a safe place at a pregnancy center? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And same thing with the church, you know, is that a safe place for her to say, I'm hurting. I regret that I did this.
Yeah.
And again, providing that hope and healing. And we know,
absolutely,
Tony, that hope and healing comes from who she is in Christ.
Yes.
But in the midst of her grief, does she know that? Can we have an opportunity to surround her with love and not judgment and walk that journey through with her as well?
Absolutely. And also, too, the studies will show that if a young lady has had one abortion, the likelihood of her having a second is greater. Mm-hmm. And so just being there, like you said, just to catch her, even if she does, we want her to be restored and forgiven and her life to improve as well. So
great.
Well, Robin, you talked a little bit about the Option Ultrasound program, and you've had some great success with that. Can you tell our listeners a little bit more about the program, like how it works and how pregnancy centers can get involved? And perhaps as a pregnancy center, you know, someone may know a pregnancy center that might need some help from ultrasound.
Yeah, like I said, when we first started 21 years ago, it'll be 22 years in January, it really was just, hey, let's show the woman what's going on in her body. Let's, you know, have that ultrasound available for her. And so what I loved about this was at that 6-year mark when we thought we were done, the team at the time took an entire weekend away and we fasted and prayed and said, God, you know, are we done? If not, what are we supposed to do? And so this has been bathed in just prayer and, you know, really seeking the Lord's divine direction. And so we said, it's so much more than an ultrasound machine. And at the time it was kind of come one, come all, you know, kind of thing. And so we really started looking at if Focus was going to have a greater impact into driving down the number of abortions in the United States, where did we need to go? And so we did change the program. And as you know, being one of our site representatives, there's a list of requirements. And Tony, that is not that's not a way to shame any pregnancy center. Because here's one of the things we say, I don't care if you're small, medium, large, extra large. Is this what God's calling you,
yes,
pregnancy center, to do? Because that's first and foremost our question. If God's not calling you into this and he's calling you to do something else, obey and do that and do it really well.
Yes.
Not everybody is called to, you know, become a pregnancy medical center where you're offering, you know, all these medical services. And so those requirements are on our website, right on the focusonthefamily.org, and you go to the pro-life tab. So pregnancy centers can kind of look at that, and it's a way for them to assess themselves. Are we ready? Maybe we have a few things we need to do. And that's one of the things that we can help with as well. And so after that 6-year kind of the reset, if you will, we started looking at how can we continue to invest in pregnancy centers in high abortion communities. And that is not to say the others are not valuable. Please hear me say that. But knowing that we have limited funds and knowing that we have a stewardship to our donors and stewardship to the Lord, how are we spending those funds and are we spending them wisely? But from that, we're like, But we want to serve all pregnancy centers. And so what I love is we've continued to really make, I would say, some of the most robust pregnancy center resources free to any pregnancy center. Those are all videos now. We've turned those booklets into videos, and there's so many free resources for those who are saying, we don't want to be medical. Right. That piece I love. But then going into the option ultrasound, we're like, how can we really impact when a center says, well, I don't need a machine. Goodness, I need nurses trained. Or you know what? I don't have funds for abortion pill reversal. Well, we have that. And so all of these different things that we're doing through Option Ultrasound came from you all, the center directors and CEOs that are on the front lines, and you know what you need to reach those women. And so one of the things I think I'm most proud of is that you all listen and you know, to the clients that are coming in, and then you tell us, hey, this is what we need. And so being able to answer those questions and really fill the gap that you all are talking about, that has been one of the best side effects of this program, is that we are listening to the pregnancy centers because we know your heart is for that woman. And so it has been amazing to see what the Lord has done, and so many more grants than we ever thought would be possible.
Yeah. It's you mentioned that I'm a site rep. It's been fun for me to go out and see other centers. And because when I'm out, you know, as a site rep, I'm learning things that we can use here at Assure as well. And so it's just been a blessing for me to kind of partner with Focus on the Family in that arena as well, just to be able to get out and see other centers. And they impact me. I hope I impact them in some way as well.
Please join us next week for part two of our interview with Robin Chambers. Life Matters is an educational outreach resource of Assure Women's Center in Omaha, Nebraska. To learn more about the ministry of Assure, visit firststeptolife.com. That's firststeptolife.com. There you can learn about the many services we provide, including how we come alongside abortion-minded mothers and empower women to choose life for her and her baby, as well as find our most current broadcasts and all of our past episodes. You can also find information on our website about how you can partner with us in the life-saving work of Assure. Again, thank you so much for listening to Life Matters. Join us again next week at the same time right here on Bot Radio Network.